The traditions were presented to the Al-Anon family group in Long Beach, California during the International AA Convention, which was the 25th AA anniversary in 1960. Lois simply read from our textbook the treatment of the traditions that is in this booklet. It is on tape, and we have a copy of it in the Midwest Tape Library that my bill owns and operates. And it's a beautiful feeling to hear Lois read the traditions and follow her reading in the booklet. It's truly a spiritual exercise that I hope some of you will take advantage of. As an introduction to the traditions, they simply say this. Al-Anon 12 traditions are guides for the conduct and unity of the group, just as the 12 steps are guides for the lives and growth of individual members. Since Al-Anon has no rules or regulations, the traditions form a framework of common consent within which we may best carry out our activities. By following these traditional principles, groups can avoid many of the pitfalls into which the early membership fell. For the traditions tell how the groups are related to each other and to Al-Anon and to AA as a whole. The traditions also indicate desirable attitudes toward membership, group purposes, money, property, public relations, leadership, and anonymity. These principles are suggested because the unity of the Al-Anon Fellowship and perhaps its survival depend upon adherence to them. Many of us fall into the habit of referring to our program as a 12-step program, and nothing could be further from the truth. We have a three-legacy program made up of 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts of service. And I can recall when the 12 traditions of AA was adapted to the use of the Al-Anon family group, and we, with a rather tongue-in-cheek attitude, thought we were too new as a fellowship to have traditions. But you must have some guidelines, whatever you're doing. Very recently, we started pinching pennies in the West Texas Assembly area, and as the editor of our newsletter, which is called The Pipeline, they asked me to get a postal consideration so that we could mail our publication at a reduced rate. And going to the postal authorities to get this done, they asked me for our bylaws. And I simply gave them a copy of the tradition. And they were delighted with them. They said, we have never seen anything quite so self-explanatory or concise as these 12 traditions. Because as it points out, it indicates desirable attitudes in all of our outside activities as well as internal ones. And many groups do not pay quite enough attention to the 12 traditions of unity. And many groups do not even know that we have 12 concepts of service. If you look closely when I appear in your meetings and I came into your airport Thursday afternoon with the emblem of our Blessed Society pinned to the lapel of my jacket, and the emblem of our society and the history of it is exceedingly beautiful and important to every single member. Now, when you start talking about membership eligibility, which the little lady read, quite often I am asked the question, who is the most important person in the Al-Anon Family Group Fellowship? And it would be quite understandable, I think, if we should think perhaps that Lois is the most important. And it would appall her to have us think so. The most important person in the Al-Anon Family Group Fellowship, if you are a member of Al-Anon, is the person who sits in your chair. You are Al-Anon, and I am Al-Anon. And none is more important than the other. But in order to develop a recovery program which is outlined in the 12th step. We must have a framework of discipline within which we can work in unity. Our common welfare must come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. If my group falls apart, I fall apart. So the survival of the group is extremely important to me. And as a member of a group, I must do everything I can to maintain unity in that group so I can get well. When we say Al-Anon is a selfish program, this is what we mean. Survival is the name of the game. And if the group does not survive, I do not survive, nor do you. And what I'll be talking about this morning is all outlined in the traditions, but I'm going to touch on some specific areas where we must adhere strictly to the traditions. And these areas include public information. We used to call it public relations, but that's too wide a spectrum. Public information is what we're about. The public needs to know that there is help available for families of alcoholics. I'd like to talk a little bit about anonymity and sponsorship. This is the feedback I get from you. In most sectors, if you do not have a sponsor, you're just not anybody. Monday will be the first anniversary of the Shepherd Air Force Base group, which is the newest group in Wichita Falls, Texas. We started it last September, and two young ladies whose husbands were in service came to the first meeting. I went to a meeting there last Monday night, and we had 15 Air Force Base people there, plus the people who come into the meeting from the other groups. And so they're going to celebrate a little anniversary. Not Monday, because my plane doesn't get in until 7:45 and the meeting is at 8, and they thought that might not be enough time for me. And they want me to be there, and for this I'm grateful. But we make a big thing of sponsorship, and every single member of that group has a sponsor, even though the group is only 1 year old. Now, a lot of people confuse the method of how you get a sponsor. And it's very simple, really. You find someone in the fellowship, it doesn't necessarily have to be in your own home group, who practices the principles of the program in a way that you would like to emulate, and you simply go to that person and say, will you be my sponsor? And this gives the person you approach the opportunity to say yay or nay. And I sponsor quite a few people. Now, there's a thin line of anonymity involved here. It is my privilege to tell you who my sponsor is, and I do, with great love and affection and respect for the woman who is my sponsor. I talked a little bit about my first sponsor last night. She took me through the steps and saved my life. And my current sponsor keeps me stable in the program. And I think she must be the toughest sponsor in the whole wide world. Her name is Margaret Dorothy. She's on a European cruise at the moment. And I miss her dreadfully because I've had some personal anxieties this last few weeks that I needed to talk to Margaret about, and she's off frolicking around the world. And it's my privilege to tell you Margaret's my sponsor. I am exceedingly fortunate, because if I forget what Margaret said, I can read the book she wrote, the title of which is Al-Anon's Favorite Forum Editorial. Margaret was the editor of the Forum, which is the Al-Anon newsletter, for 20 years. So I have the advantage of most people. I can read again what my sponsor believes in the book that she wrote. But it is not my privilege to tell you who I sponsor. That's an ego trip. If I should say to you, I sponsor Sadie Brown and Susie Smith and Mary Jones, then I'm taking the ego trip. There's a thin line of anonymity there. Now, anonymity is not to be confused with identity. My name is Arbutus O'Neill. and that has nothing to do with my anonymity. The best definition, I think, the one I like best about anonymity is this. If I do something quite wonderful for the fellowship, you're not going to pin a rose on me. But if I pull a colossal blooper, you won't drum me out of the core. That's anonymity. I picked up a little thing in Utah a number of years ago when I was privileged to go out there and serve on the faculty of the summer school of the Institute on Alcohol Studies. I took advantage of some free time and went to a daytime Al-Anon meeting. And a newcomer arrived. And she was quite reluctant to even tell us her first name, much less her last name. There is many treatment centers in the Salt Lake area. And she picked up the language and knew about anonymity. And she explained to us. She said, I must protect my anonymity because my husband is still drinking. And very kindly but very firmly, the chairman of the group replied, my dear, we are bound by our traditions to protect the anonymity of all AA members. But this protection is not extended to people who are still drinking, lest we protect them to death. And I like that. And the second tradition, and I like to personalize the traditions. Have you ever tried that? My common welfare should come first. My common welfare should come first. Which includes the welfare of my group. Not that I own the group, but that I'm a part of it. For my purpose, or for my group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God, if he may express himself in my conscience, or my group's conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Chairman of the group, secretary of the group, PR of the group, district representatives, area delegates, regional trustees are but trusted servants. They do not govern. These willing people have a grave responsibility to the fellowship. And I find in many cases that members are reluctant to take on this responsibility. And we must have someone to chair a meeting. I like what one of the little Texas girls says when she gets down to the organizational tradition. She said, Al-Anon is not organized, but we've got to make some arrangements. I think there's going to be some eating going on here this afternoon, and if we didn't have a place to eat from, we'd be in trouble. So you've got to make some arrangements, and somebody's got to do that. And I didn't particularly like this kind of responsibility when I was new in Al-Anon. I was a giver, I was a taker, not a giver, and I wanted to get everything I could from the fellowship, but I wasn't yet willing to give anything back to it. And so I was reluctant to take on responsibility. And you'll find some echoes in the Blueprint for Progress, which deals with the fourth step inventory, when they talk about responsibility. If you turn this world around, it will become a beautiful thing to you, and you will not again feel that someone as if you're being put upon when you're asked to do a job for Al-Anon. The ability to respond to the need of others is indeed a beautiful thing, and that's simply reversing the word responsibility. The ability to respond. The ability to respond to the love of God makes us civilized people and spiritual beings rather than degenerated animals. The ability to respond. And so when you're asked to do a service job, please do it. It will expand your love for the fellowship, and you will indeed grow spiritually. And your sponsor can be a big help to you in these and other things that come up in your life, whether it's in the realm of service or recovery. And for those of you who do not have a sponsor, I urge you to find someone that you identify with who can help you through these little times when you need a little help. Sponsors are not yes men. They sometimes tell you things that you do not want to hear but need badly to. And I think that a good sponsor is never a people pleaser. but simply guides the person they sponsor into spiritual growth. I have a name for people I sponsor. I call them pilgrims. Margaret and I came up with that. Then I can listen to my pilgrim's progress. Isn't that funny? I like it. But when you find a community that is strong in sponsorship, you find thriving Al-Anon groups, reaching out to other groups. And then another point of confusion that I find almost everywhere I go is that part of the traditions that has to do with public information and affiliation as opposed to cooperation. This causes a great deal of confusion. Number one, if you're going to have any part of public information, then you're going to have to cooperate with a lot of people. If you're going to start a public information project, about the first thing you're going to do is contact the public media in your community. You're going to become acquainted with newspaper editors. And we have a member of the press here this morning. And in keeping with the tradition, I ask that she not publish a full name of any member that she meets here in any printed report of our meetings. And she knew about the tradition already, and I was grateful for that. You're going to have to meet the people at your television stations and your radio stations. And you're going to meet some people who put out church bulletins and public notices about all the activities in your community. Now then, listen closely. This is not affiliation. This is cooperation. How in the world are we going to attract people to our program if we're not willing to tell people we have a program? And newspapers and radio and television stations have some traditions too. They call them policies. And they're just as important to their being as our traditions are to our being. For example, a newspaper editor dare not publish an anonymous letter, lest he open his editorial page to every crank in the country. And so if you want an article put in the newspaper and you don't want to pay for it in the form of an ad, the editorial page is open to you. But the newspaper editor is not willing for you to write an article about Al-Anon, and he will publish it as an Al-Anon member only. You know, the article will be signed an Al-Anon member without a name. But he will not put anonymous. This is against most newspaper policies, at least it is in the United States. Nor will he let you go home without telling him who you are. You need to be identified. Again, it has nothing to do with your anonymity. So you say, I would like you to publish this article. My name is Arbutus O'Neill. I live at 42 Bourne Street, Wichita Falls, Texas, and my telephone number is 692-7898. I would like you to publish this article and sign it an Al-Anon member, and he'll be happy to do it. Same way with your television and radio people. They're not going to broadcast your name on the air, but they need to know who is responsible for the publicity. It is your privilege, and it is our privilege here this morning with the little lady from the Pacific Press, I believe she is. If she writes up something, it is our privilege to ask her to let us read it before she publishes it. Not that we are going to critique her grammar or check her work for misspelled words, but to make sure that she projects Al-Anon thinking. I can remember an occasion in Houston, Texas, when the little lady came to our meeting and read a beautiful article, and she put in there, Al-Anon people can drink, and went on to imply that if you need to drink badly enough and you were in the AA meeting, just go to the Al-Anon side and they'll serve you. And you always have a good friend in the crowd, and I was delegate of the state of Texas at that time. We since divided into two areas, east and west. And someone was delighted to clip this out and send it to our World Service office, and I got an immediate telephone call from New York. And I had to go down to the paper and ask them to make a retraction. And this takes time, and it's embarrassing. For the benefit of the little lady of the press, there is no cure for alcoholism, and Al-Anon people can't even do it. Every once in a while, and this happened in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. The little lady there said I was from Wichita, Kansas, and that I said that you had to cure yourself before you could help anybody else. Well, now, you know blooming well I didn't say that. But that's how it came through to her, and that was what was printed in the paper. And again, New York makes rumble, especially if you've served on the Board of Trustees or as a delegate. They know you should know better. And then you'll meet some people who can be of infinite value to you, clergymen, doctors, attorneys, domestic court judges, treatment center directors, hospital administrators, and the list is endless. Now, these people are a tremendous source of referral. They come in contact with troubled people, and those overlook your juvenile court judges. They're the ones who come in contact with these problems that Father Joe was talking about last night. And they're the ones who can say, you need to go to an Al-Anon meeting. Again, leave them a name and a telephone number where they can reach you. And do not be surprised if you're called out in the middle of the night. Because untreated alcoholism seems to erupt between the hours of midnight and 6 o'clock. Have a roster of names available to hospital administrators and the people that I've mentioned. Form committees to help these people. And say, if you come in contact with someone who needs to come to Al-Anon, a member of this committee will see that they get to a meeting and then follow through on it. Form outreach programs when you can. Do a follow-up on the people who are treated in your clinic. With their permission, and this is important, this is a legality in the state. With their permission, contact their families, if possible, while they're still in treatment, and get them in an Al-Anon meeting so that when the person who is in treatment goes home, the non-alcoholic who is not yet a member of Al-Anon will not put so much pressure on them that they'll have a relapse into their illness. This is cooperation, not affiliation. While I was on the Board of Trustees, we developed a public information project that caught on and attracted a great deal of attention from the World Service Office. We put bus posters in the city buses in Fort Worth and Dallas that brought a lot of members to Al-Anon. And they changed the divorce laws in the state the last few years. It is now possible for you to get a no-fault divorce in the state, providing that both members of the marriage will consent to 12 weeks of counseling. So we wrote letters to the attorneys in Dallas County, upward of 2,000, a series of letters, numbering 6. And we told these people how they might determine when the divorce procedure had been initiated because of alcoholism. One letter had a little fax file type thing attached to it on how to detect a symptom of alcoholism in the spouse. If a spouse, for example, calls you to start divorce proceedings and then changes her mind, if she calls you after hours, if she wants excessive child support and then decides she really doesn't need any, you know, one of these iffy people, dig a little deeper and you'll probably discover that the reason that the folks want a divorce in the first place is because one of them drinks too much. And this got tremendous response. just tremendous response. On another occasion, on this particular occasion, let me correct myself, we did this public information project in cooperation with Texas A&M University Extension Department. And if you're going to send 6 letters to 2,000 attorneys, you have a pretty sizable postage bill. You have to have some stationery with a letterhead that will attract attention. And not very many attorneys, I'm sorry to say, know a blooming thing about Al-Anon family groups. So with the permission of the World Service Office, we used the stationery of the Texas A&M Extension Department because the attorneys know this letterhead. That's where the Aggie jokes come from down in Texas, and every attorney knows a dozen Aggie jokes. So Texas A&M is something that they recognize. One of the members of that committee was the president of the Texas Bar Association. And in the credit line at the end of the letters, her name was listed, along with the Public Relations Committee chairman, now called Public Information, whose name was listed as Marcella C., protecting her anonymity, but giving Al-Anon a part in the project. Are you following me? This is cooperation, not affiliation. And we got a tremendous response from this project. So great was the response, in fact, that the World Service Conference chairman asked the public information chairman in Texas to make up copies of this series of letters for every delegate that attended the World Service Conference that year. And I believe it was in 1971 or 72. I was not expecting to give you statistics this morning, and I may be in error there. But we took copies of those letters. I took copies of those letters to New York so they might be enclosed in the brochures of every delegate that attended the conference that year, and it included some of your Canadian delegates. And I would not be surprised if those of you who work in public relations could find some copies of those, and if you would be interested in investigating it further, they are available at the Greater Dallas Interviews Office at this time. They are on file. And then let's talk about the clergymen who put out these little weekly bulletins in their churches. It is perfectly permissible for your public information chairman to approach these folks either in a conference of churches or individually and ask them to give us space to put a little bloop about Al-Anon. And this little bloop can be found in your public information file, the one that starts out saying, alcoholism is a family illness. You may know about Alcoholics Anonymous for the help of the alcoholic, but you may not know of a parallel resource known as the Al-Anon Family Group, et cetera, et cetera. And they'll put this, perhaps in a condensed form, in their church bulletin. And then you'll discover how many of the parishioners that live with a drinking problem. And very briefly, touching on membership, anyone who is troubled about the drinking of someone in their family belongs in Al-Anon. You will note that I did not say that anyone living with an alcoholic. We are not diagnosticians. It is not my privilege to go down through the aisle and put a finger on all of you people who suffer from alcoholism and say, you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic, you are, you are. We don't do this. But anyone who is troubled by the drinking of someone in their family should go to Al-Anon meetings. And your doctors, oh dear God, your doctors can be of tremendous help. Especially gynecologists, and if anybody laughs, I'll slap them. These are the doctors that treat the little ladies like me who go in and are nervous, you know. And while we don't tell them we stay up all night with a drunk and that we live on black coffee and cigarettes, no sirree, we do not. They say, how's your diet? Eat well. Sleep well? Yes. Lie. But I'm so nervous. And doctors are busy folks. You lie right down the line. Here seems to be a healthy female and doesn't have any major problems. He's given the examination. There's nothing organically or functionally wrong, but you're nervous. And he's got some little pellets in there that just does a fine job of zonking you out. Some of them are called Valium. That's a fast ride. If you don't like that one, try Librium. I'm scared to death of tranquilizers. Because those of us who love alcoholics have the emotional setup that makes us an absolute setup for addiction. And when one of your members comes to a meeting and stepping 3 feet off the ground and you have the distinct feeling that you trip over a lead pencil, you better watch out. You better watch out. And this is not a laughing matter, ladies and gentlemen. The Al-Anon family groups are having a very serious problem with addiction to tranquilizers. Because we are emotional setups for it. We have a body protection that protects us from alcoholism, but we do not have any protection against addiction to tranquilizers. None at all. And we have more Al-Anon members going to clinics for withdrawal than we do AA members. And don't you forget it. Your domestic court judges, those people especially who handle battered children. I don't see Father Joe. I would like him to know that in the majority of cases, child abuse, the child was not abused by an alcoholic. Did you hear me? The child was not abused by an alcoholic. The child was abused by the non-alcoholic parent who takes their frustration out on the children. This can be documented. And this becomes some of the remarks that Father Joe made last night. Shame you, dear people who are alcoholics. Be assured that this can be documented. Battered children are battered by non-alcoholic parents. But let me hasten to say, they are not in Al-Anon. And this is cooperation, not affiliation. Now, the traditions spell it out very plainly about cooperation with AA. And perhaps it's a rebellious trend that the whole world is taking, but I'm beginning to get some echoes in parts of the country that says the Al-Anon family group meetings should not use AA literature. What the hell do you say? Where do you think it started from? If we took all of the material out of our literature that we took from the AA literature, we have a lot of blank pages. You want to prove it someday? Look on page 18 of your booklet on tradition. Paragraph 3, second sentence. Going to AA meetings gives us a greater insight into the alcoholic problem as well as will reading some of the many books on the subject. Particularly, basic book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Would you kindly tell me how you're going to learn anything about a book if you don't read it? Would you kindly tell me how you're going to be able to have all the reading time that you need if you don't take it to your meetings? Don't come to Texas, please, kindly, because you're very likely to be put in a beginner's group that will require you to study, not read, study, the first 164 pages of the big book Alcoholics Anonymous so that you will know about the philosophy that you're going to live by the rest of your life. And anyone of you here who are members of Al-Anon has not read the big book, you don't know what the philosophy is. So you better get after it, because you're living by that philosophy, or you should be if you want to be happy and serene people. The new edition of the big AA book gives Al-Anon a great boost. After the copy, is it To the Wise or is it The Family Afterwards? It's one of those two copies, and I'll be talking more about that tonight. You're not through with me yet. But study your traditions. One of the formats that's easy to make this possible is the one that we borrowed from California, and since it's been approved by the conference, where you use one meeting of the month for a discussion of the steps. This gives us chairman great flexibility. You can invite a speaker in to talk about the steps. You can make a participation meeting of it. You can use individual pieces of literature or a combination of. Very flexible. First meeting of the month is devoted to a step, coinciding with the month. The ninth step is in September, the tenth in October, and so forth. The second meeting of the month can be devoted to a study of the tradition in general, individually, all the literature, some of the literature, go any route you want to, great flexibility. The third meeting of the month can be devoted to literature, specifically or individually again. And the fourth meeting of the month is birthday meeting in many groups that I stay around very long. AAs have birthdays annually. Now we're on to two. If you want to document that to a doubting Thomas, look in your policy digest, and you'll find a birthday plan explanation. Its original intent was to add a little revenue to our World Service Conference, or the World Service Office. When you celebrate a birthday, you're privileged to show your gratitude by sending to the World Service Office $1 for each year of membership, leveling off at $10 for those of us who've been around all of our lives. Because after retirement, your income usually is reduced. This was the first year that I ever had to level it off at $10, and it made me very sad. But my birthday fell in the month that my husband had a heart attack and I was watching money again, which was an indication that my anxiety was showing. I resolved it, thank you kindly, and I'll go back to my $27 next year when I have an Al-Anon birthday. And to emphasize the importance of Al-Anon birthdays in groups that I stay around very long, and please recall that when I introduce myself, I say I belong to Al-Anon. That means I belong to your group too. I no longer claim a home group. I've been transferred too many times the last few years. And I think this is kind of bad when we get competitive about home groups. I belong to the best group in the world. Well, the strength of our fellowship is not based on the best group in the world, dear friends. It's based on the weakest group. If you've got the best group in the world, why don't you move over to the next community and see how their group's getting along and see what you can do to strengthen their group. We're not as strong as the weakest, as the strongest link in the chain of groups. We are as strong as the weakest link. If you don't belong to the best group in the world, you better look into yourself a little bit and into your group. Rotation of leadership is what makes groups grow. If you've got a little lady or a gentleman who's been secretary of your group for the last 12 years, you're not abiding by the tradition. The textbook, Living with an Alcoholic, explains rotation. It explains that you should rotate officers 3 months, but it is all right if you re-elect the person who served as your secretary, treasurer. Most groups that are not large combine those two offices, because it takes about 3 months to get knowledgeable about how to order literature, how to contact referral resources, and whatever. So re-elect your secretary and let them serve 6 months. This is quite permissible. Chairman should serve 3 months and rotate to give everybody a chance. And these groups grow. They just grow out of bounds. The groups that stick in a little rut, which is nothing more than a grave open at both ends, do not grow. So look to your leadership. Look to your rotation. And if there is a reluctance of someone who is jealous of the authority that this title seems to carry with it, document your authority as a speaker of group conscience and use your textbook and emphasize it by studying the tradition. You're breaking tradition if you do not rotate officers on a regular basis, determined by the group conscience, of course. Everything goes back to group conscience. Very quickly, let me say that Tradition 4 does not say every group is autonomous, period. It says every group is autonomous, excepting in matters that affect Al-Anon or AA as a whole. And what you do in British Columbia, Canada, affects the group in Texas and vice versa. And when you bring in outside literature, to me, outside literature, whether it comes from Hazelden, Utah University, or whatever the publishing places are in Canada, you break all 12 of the traditions. All 12. When you send a check to Hazelden for literature, you're depriving of your World Service Office of the amount of the check, and you're stealing money from yourself.
Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contribution. The only exception that's made in that is in conventions that are participated in by both Al-Anon and AA. And some gracious AAs in our part of the country put different colored tags on the participants and split the leftover money after expenses are paid with Al-Anon, who has helped with the convention. This is acceptable. This is cooperation, not affiliation. But if an AA member, however grateful he is for the changes that Al-Anon has made in his life through his Al-Anon spouse, should send a check to the World Service Office, they would graciously and regretfully return it. By the same token, if I should send a check to the General Service Office of AA, they would do the same thing. I am not a member of AA. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contribution. Those contributions are the only source of literature, plus the sale of our literature, that we have to maintain our World Service Office, which has now become a $1 million enterprise. And ladies and gentlemen, we get more money from selling literature than we do from group contributions. Dangerously so. The sale of our literature amounts to, and again, you'll have to check with your delegate on this figure, it amounts to about 80% of our income. In other words, if the printers go on a strike, we'll have to close our office. And because of this enormous sale of literature, one order last year that paralyzed the office came from the United States Navy in the amount of $45,000 in one order, thanks to Father Joseph. He emphasized the fact that this is a family illness to the extent that the United States Navy ordered $45,000 worth of literature in one order. And we have 25 people in that office, and not all of them work full time. And you can imagine the hurry and scurry that is going about trying to get all these little packets of pen packed up to send to the United States Navy. We were grateful for it, to be sure, but it paralyzed their office. And so, the group got this journal. Just as an alcoholic, just as an AA member, I cannot abide going in a bar and sitting around drunk. Al-Anon members just cannot abide waiting for something to be done for them now that they know that they've got some status and respectability. And when our World Service Office is slow sending out some literature, you can hear the sound around the world. And so they said, we can't get the literature from New York. We'll get started from Haiti. Fine. Where is your gratitude? Give it to Hastings. And I'm not tickled on Hastings. Please don't misunderstand me. Utah School. Detroit. Tucson, Arizona. Oh, that's a little zero. Bunch of them. Is that where your gratitude lies? I'm not going to stay here all day. I'm going home to tell my husband that you all undoubtedly have less consideration for delicate little ladies than anybody I ever saw. You have worked the bejabers out of me. And I've loved every minute of it. I assure you, I've loved every minute of it. I do want to say a little bit more about the birthday plan. It's a beautiful thing. When the appeal letter comes to New York 3 times a year, it is not addressed to the group secretary, you know this. It's addressed to Alan, dear Al-Anon member. If your little secretary kind of sticks that under the desk and says, we got something from New York, first they want money again. I say, hey, wait a minute. Read that letter to us. And it suggests that you read it in at least 3 meetings. I give you a month to get your little money together to send it to the World Service Office. We keep a coin jar on our podium. Somebody got some loose change to drop it in for World Service. And that's all some people drop in. And I can measure the size of your gratitude when I see you respond to an appeal letter. If I see you dig around your purse and try to pick up some loose change, I know the extent of your gratitude. But if I see you reach in the back of your wallet and pull out some big bills that you've been saving maybe to buy a new refrigerator and put it in the envelope marked World Service Office, I know the extent of your gratitude. We talk much about putting in your 2 cents worth. It is suggested that each appeal letter, with each member, should send $2. But we do not talk very much about how much you can spend. We only talk about how little you can spend. You can spend annually $400 and take it off your taxes. Each member can. And there are some people in Al-Anon now who've got their mortgage paid off, have two cars in the garage and a boat attached to one of them, their children in private school, and they've learned by the principles of this program that they've got some sense and they've got a better job, and they need some tax write-off. Let those members know that they can send $400 to the World Service Office and it'll be most gratefully accepted. Most gratefully accepted. And wouldn't it be nice if you could just maybe not send $1 for each year of membership? You've only been in 5 years, but you could make it $5, $25 check instead of a $5 check. It would be most gratefully accepted. And to emphasize this birthday plan, down in Texas, we order AFC pins, abbreviation for our emblem pins, from a gentleman up in Kansas, and we present an AFC pin to the person who's having their first first Al-Anon birthday. Now this is dependent upon 1 year membership. Doesn't mean you work the program perfectly or you haven't had a slip this year. It means you've been in the fellowship 1 year. Now, if you've been to one meeting and didn't come back again, we're not going to pin you. But if you're reasonably regular in your attendance, by the time you have a year in the fellowship, you should have a sponsor. You should be either working on your fourth step or seriously considering it. And you're making progress in the program. So we make a little presentation of this pin, and it carries with it a little certificate. And your sponsor, if it's possible for them to be present at your birthday, there's the pinning. If it's not possible for your sponsor to be there, because again reminds you that you do not have to select the sponsor from your home group, then the chairman of the group makes the presentation and pins your AFD emblem on your lapel. And this is what we say to you when we pin you. Congratulations, Mary, on your first Al-Anon birthday. It gives me great pleasure to present to you the emblem of our blessed society. We know you will wear it with dignity. It carries with it a grave responsibility. You took upon yourself this responsibility when you came to your very first meeting. You came to us and asked us for help. And we were willing to help you, provided that in time you would be willing to help anyone you could, anywhere you could, anytime you were asked. This pin is the emblem of our trust in you. May God bless you. And the members wear their pins to the meetings and to the conventions. They do not wear them to the supermarket and to the office. And they become better Al-Anon members. And you'll hear sponsors say, "Where's your pin?" Or sometimes you'll hear someone say to their sponsor, "Where's your pin?" And sometimes they'll go through the washing machine and they'll say, "Oh, I've got my Al-Anon pin in the washing machine. Have no fear. It's a good pin. Mine's 17 years old. I'm going strong. It's been through the washer. Been to the cleaners a few times. Still in good shape." But these are some of the things that you can do to begin to practice. The second leg of our three legacy program that is exemplified by the Al-Anon triangle. The Al-Anon emblem is a triangle, the strongest physical structure known in the world. It encompasses a circle, the emblem or symbol of the everlasting love of God without beginning and without end. And imposed on the circle are the letters AFG. Al-Anon Family Group. And I'm grateful, as I know you are, to be a member of the only fellowship in the world that is totally dedicated to helping families of alcoholics wherever they may be. And we in the United States feel that you here in Canada are not only our good neighbors to the north, but we think you've got fine Al-Anon groups. We like the way you operate the program. Thank you very much.